This is The Guardian.
I'm Laura Murphy-Oates, and this is The Full Story. In Beijing, the 2022 Winter Olympics is well underway. And today, Guardian writer Kieran Pender is bringing you the story of two Australian athletes who made history before they even landed in China. They also compete in a fairly obscure sport.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's a bit cliche, but there's that movie Cool Runnings. Do you feel like, you know, you're the Australian version of Cool Runnings?
It's definitely been mentioned that it might be a similar story, which is really cool. I didn't think it would be.
Today, Australia's first Olympic curling team. It's Thursday, the 10th of February. So, Kieran, I have brought you in today to talk about curling, a sport that I have never watched and that I don't actually quite understand how it works. You know, do you know much about curling? Are you a curling fan before you looked into this?
Well, you're missing out, is all I can say. I've become a curling fan in the course of covering the Australian curling team.
Kieran Pender is a writer for Guardian Australia.
I'm hooked.
Tell me about the Australian curling team. What do we need to know about them?
Well, we're halfway through the Winter Olympics being held in China at the moment, and Australia has made its first ever appearance in the Winter Olympics curling.
Mm.
So I guess that's the headline. This is a historic moment. Australia's been competing in the Winter Olympics since the 30s, and until now we'd never qualified for the curling. Australia has a team in the mixed doubles curling, Tali Gill and Dean Hewitt. Tali's in her early 20s. She's studying to become a teacher. Dean's in his late 20s and is an exercise physiologist. And in the last few years, they've taken the world by storm with their curling prowess.
Mm.
Great. Well, thanks so much for agreeing to speak with me. And firstly, congratulations on qualifying.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I was lucky enough before the Winter Olympics, a few weeks back, I spoke to them while they were in Canada at a training camp.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're in Canmore, close to Calgary in Canada.
And you're just training ahead of the Games?
Pretty much, yeah.
Great. And, I mean, how's it feel to be Australia's first ever Olympic curling team?
Pretty surreal.
Yeah, you still have to pinch yourself a little bit. It's still kicking in. And but I think once we get over there and, you know, put on the uniform and all that, I think everything will start to hit home and how big it is. And, yeah, just excited for the whole experience.
So, Kieran, as I mentioned, my curling knowledge is a bit scant. For someone who is in a similar situation, can you explain what is curling? How does it work?
So, curling comes from Scotland in the 16th century. It's effectively lawn bowls on ice.
Mm.
And essentially, the whole objective of the game is to slide your stones or rocks down to the other end. And you want to get as many rocks as you can as close to the center of the target at the other end. So it's similar in concept to lawn bowls. You're trying to get as many of those rocks close to the jack. But in this case, it's like a target.
And back in when it was founded, you'd slide the stone across an icy lake. You know, imagine the Scottish Highlands. They're playing on frozen lakes with stones.
Mm.
Obviously, in the centuries that followed, it's become a bit more sophisticated. And now they've got these standardized granite stones and they play on an ice rink in an indoor facility. But, you know, really the core of the game is still as it was all those centuries ago. You're throwing the stone from one side to the other and you're trying to get it as close to the middle to a target in the middle of the other side of the rink called the house as you can. And you get points depending on who has the most stones closest to the middle.
And then you involve the sweeping as well.
And one of the things that makes it so eye-catching is that while it's sliding from one end to the other, the players, so in mixed doubles, one player, and in ordinary curling, two or three players, are frantically sweeping the ice with a broom to control the stone.
So you're going to sweep frantically in front of the rock, which will make the rock go further, and it'll change the direction a little bit too.
So if you sweep hard, you're reducing the friction and the stone goes further. You can also, by sweeping on one side or the other, change the trajectory of the stone.
So naturally, the rock will curl as it comes down the ice, but the sweeping can adjust that a little bit as well.
It's really quite a watch.
A lot involved, both precision, the power and endurance from sweeping as well, and the strategy behind it is huge. So the mental game is really important.
So it's also quite a tactical game. You're both playing offensively. Sometimes you're trying to knock the other team's stones out of the way, and sometimes you're trying to play defensively. So you're trying to set up stones that are called guards that block the other team from getting their stone closer to the center.
It's almost like chess on ice, but you have to play really quickly. You know, you're on the time clock as well, and yeah, there's just so much to it.
So a kind of obvious question, Australia doesn't have a lot of ice or a lot of snow. How do you play curling in Australia traditionally?
With difficulty. You know, Australia is not a curling powerhouse for that reason. We're not a country of snow and ice. Curling is immensely popular in cooler climate countries. As I said, it was invented in Scotland. It's now popular in Canada, in Scandinavia, in Russia. But in recent years, curling has grown in popularity in Australia. It's still a fairly niche sport, but as we've had more and more ice rinks, hockey rinks in Melbourne, in Canberra, in Sydney, for example, we're seeing more and more curling take place in Australia. And now finally, we've got an Australian team at the Winter Olympics, at the pinnacle of the sport.
Mm. You say that people have been playing in ice rinks and hockey rinks. Is that the right setting? Are there any curling rinks in Australia specifically?
They're not, and there's not a single dedicated curling rink. So the grade of the ice is different, and so it's not quite as good, but I guess you make do with what you have.
Yeah, basically each state sort of that has a club just trains on hockey ice, and it's always multi-sport. So there's figure skating, hockey, sometimes speed skating, so, and public skating, of course. So yeah, it's shared.
Not having a rink to practice in that is an actual curling rink sounds like a pretty big disadvantage for an Australian team.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's kind of the ice conditions we have to deal with, which is very different from when we're overseas on dedicated curling ice. There is quite a difference, but we make do with what we have.
And on top of that, then actually sourcing the stones is really difficult, not just in Australia, but anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, for curling stones, there's only two places in the world you can get them from. And they're both either in Scotland or Wales that they get the granite from.
And that means they're really expensive.
They're 20 kilos each and
they're like $500 a stone. So given you need a whole bunch of them,
it can add up pretty quickly. Like, for example, down at the Ice House in Melbourne, that rink has, you know, 96 rocks. And that's a lot of granite to move across and ship across. So not easy to get the rocks, but once you do, you know, they're there. You don't need to move them again. As long as they're at the ice rink, they're ready to go.
So if stones are so expensive, there's nowhere to practice and not many places to play, how did Tali and Dean get into this sport in the first place?
Well, they both credit their mums.
She saw curling on the Olympics and thought, oh, that's another cool sport that I want to give a go. And
Tali's mum joined a curling club in Brisbane and actually went on to play for Australia.
She really inspired me to want to get out there and give it a go, and she let me, so here we are.
Following in your mum's footsteps.
Yeah.
Mm. What about Dean's family?
Dean's family were also curling fanatics.
My mum, she grew up in Canada, so she taught my dad, who's Australian, and moved over to Australia, and they played for years and years on the team. And yeah, they just brought me up with curling. So I've curled basically my whole life.
So they're both curling dynasties, really.
Pretty much.
So how did Tali and Dean meet and team up to become Australia's first curling team?
Tali and Dean were juniors together. They started at a similar time. So they were in the same circles going to tournaments around Australia. But Dean was a little bit older than Tali. So they grew apart for a while when Dean graduated to the senior ranks. And then just a few years ago, they were playing at the same nationals tournament in mixed doubles, but with different partners. Dean, at the time, was playing with his mum. And after the game,
Dean and his mum had a chat. And then I got a call.
And they agreed that they'd split up their team and Dean would go and play with Tali instead.
It was a very mutual conversation with me and Mum. You know, she was approaching, she would have been over 60 for this Olympics. And we said, well, it's probably time to make a change and try and develop a team for the future. And yeah, it was really good and it worked out in our favor, I suppose.
So you dumped your mum for Tali.
I won't say I dumped her. No, it was a very mutual thing. And she had enough by that stage. And but it was pretty special playing two world championships with her, and we'll never, take that for granted.
Straight away, there was chemistry on the ice. They were playing well. They were playing internationally, and ultimately they were qualifying for the Olympics.
Right. So tell me about the road to the Olympics for Tali and Dean. How did they qualify?
So ordinarily the road to curling at the Olympics involves competing in international events and gaining a certain number of points. But because of COVID, they had to compete in a special world championships to see who would get there. And the Australians at first didn't go well enough. They finished just outside the automatic qualification. Mm. And so they had to go and compete in a standalone qualification event last December in the Netherlands. They had to finish in the top two to get one of the last two spots for Beijing. And they did.
Even just that moment was a history-making moment. How did they feel about qualifying?
They said it was really surreal and it took quite a while for it to sink in.
Mm.
I think it was still very surreal. Like, we watched it back just yesterday and it was kind of like, it was more emotional at that point just to see us and the emotions that we had. And at the time it was, just pretty amazing. And just to think of what was to come and the media attention that came from it was fantastic. And I hope it does wonders for Australian curling.
Right. So once they were in, it's the first team ever. I mean, I can't imagine they were highly ranked or there were big expectations going in. What was the conversation around this team like?
Well, it's fair to say they weren't favourites.
I think as a team we're known, but I think given that we're not a typical curling nation, we're probably considered an underdog in that field. It's a strong field. Every single team there is really good, but that means that any team there could come out on top.
And I think the other thing to keep in mind is that in other countries, in places where curling is really popular, some of these curlers are full-time professional curlers, whereas Tali's still studying, Dean works. So they're trying to fit curling into their already pretty busy lives, but they love it. And so they managed even still to get to Beijing.
And yeah, we'll try and hit our goals and push hard every stone out there and see what we can do.
And like when you're there, when you're on the ice for the first time, you know, what do you imagine that experience will be like?
I think once you get out there, feel that ice underneath your slider and throw that first stone, I think once you actually get on the ice, it'll kind of feel like home. It's just when you look up, that's the difference. You see those Olympic rings.
Next, up against the best in the world, the Australian curling team faces some unexpected obstacles. All right, so Tali and Dean make it to the Olympics. How did they go?
So the first thing to say is that curling at the Olympics begins with a round robin. It's not sudden death. You play a bunch of games and then the best teams go on to the semifinals and then the gold medal match.
Mm.
Now, straight out of the gate, Australia had a pretty rocky start in that Tali, when she arrived in Beijing Airport, tested positive for COVID.
Mm.
So she'd had COVID earlier when she was in Canada preparing for the Olympics. And even though she'd been signed off saying she'd recovered, she was no longer symptomatic, when she landed, she tested positive. And so for a moment, it looked as if their whole tournament was on the brink.
Mm.
Luckily, Tali then tested negative twice and she was cleared to play. And so we had the big opener against the United States. And it was heartbreaking. They lost by 1 point to the US. And that was really, unfortunately, going to repeat. And they had a number of really close games during the round robin. They lost by 1 point to China. They lost by 1 point to Sweden. They lost by 1 point to Great Britain. So they were playing really well and they were just falling short.
Right, and that's still pretty interesting considering that, as you mentioned, some of these teams are professional full-time teams and, you know, Tali and Dean are just losing out.
Yeah, these were some really promising performances. Of course, you know, they went in wanting to do really well and the opening losses were disappointing, but it showed real promise. They're still young and it showed that Australia has a really positive curling future.
Mm-hmm. What happened next?
So on Sunday, Australia still hadn't won any games in the Olympic curling and they had two left to salvage some pride and put the first wins on the board for this country at the Winter Olympics in the curling, something that had never happened before in Australian Olympic history. And then...
July for our snowboarders, but it's been another day of COVID drama for Australia's curling team.
Tali tested positive again.
It has been an emotional day for Tali Gill. She was left in tears. It is an old infection, but today was the day that Olympic organisers decided her readings were too high and she would be on the first plane out of here along with her partner Dean Hewitt tomorrow.
So Chinese officials called them and said, sorry, you can't play. You've got to go home. So they went home, they packed up their bags, they were ready to go to the airport.
I can imagine that would be an incredibly disappointing end to this whole Olympic bid, you know, to make it so far, to have just a few games left to try and prove themselves to win one game and then to be told you have to go home.
Tali described it as devastating.
It was really heartbreaking, actually, for it to be such a big hype, you know, for us to be like the first curlers there and then for it to finish in that way, I think was really devastating.
Yeah, it was tough. We always knew that was a possibility throughout the week. And I was just blown away that, you know, it was a campaign over right then and there. And it was one of those things where you don't know what you've got until it's gone.
I can't even imagine. They were so close to playing in these games, seeing out their Olympic campaign. And then they were told to go home. But then...
But the Australian Olympic organisers got involved and they managed to determine that those readings were within the acceptable range. So that means...
Just as they're about to head off to the airport, they got a phone call saying, actually, the expect panel took a closer look at Tali's COVID results and decided that it was sufficiently low levels and they were allowed to compete.
Their matches are back on. Australians can get behind the sport of curling again. They're back on the ice tonight and their Olympic dream is still very much alive. Beck and Mike,
that is terrific news. Thank you.
What did she say when she got this phone call?
So I was still in my little isolation area when we got the call and I had my bags packed ready to go. Hadn't been taken to the airport yet. And that was pretty much in the morning. And then a few hours later, it was like, get ready, you're going on the ice. It was just a matter of unpacking the uniform, putting the uniform on and getting in the car and going to the rink and meeting up with the team. So, yeah, it was a total, just the craziest day of my life. It's probably the worst and best day of my life at the same time.
Oh, God. Okay, so they're back in the game. How does this game go, especially considering the chaotic lead up to it?
Yeah, well, suddenly everything turned around. They'd gone from being sent home with COVID without a single win on the board, and suddenly they're up against some heavyweight teams.
You throw this shot 50 times, you might make it once. It's a very difficult shot.
They're up against Switzerland. They take a really good start. Switzerland come back.
Final stone on its way for Switzerland's Jenny Perret.
And Australia hold on.
Clips it thin. Stone spins into the rings. It's a victory for Australia.
And Australia win 9-6.
Huge smile from Dean Hewitt and Tali Gill. Recording Australia's first ever Olympic curling victory.
You really missed out not watching this over the weekend.
Yeah.
Crazy day indeed, Dean Hewitt.
We're still going. Got one game to go.
And then, just 7 or 8 hours later, they were back on the ice, again against a team of heavyweights, the Canadians, and they win again. So the Australians have gone from not winning a single game to winning two. First ever Australian victories in Olympic curling.
It's been a very tough tournament for this Australian team, but they're savouring that first ever victory. Australia are your winners today in mixed doubles curling.
Yeah, those last two games were amazing. Once we got out there, we were just so excited to be just out there competing. And that's what sport should be about. It's actually the competition and just enjoying yourself on and off the ice. And being able to pull out two wins for our final two games was so special. And to do it against, you know, the reigning silver medalist from the Olympics and then one of the competitors that was the gold medalist and also our coach, it was pretty special. So we just enjoyed every moment and soaked it all up. And it's nice finishing on that note and leaving with a smile.
What does that mean for this team, winning two games at the end there? Does that mean that they're through the semifinals?
Alas, not. Unfortunately, even though they'd redeemed themselves, they'd won those amazing two final games, it wasn't quite enough to get them through the semifinal. And that means they're going home a day later than they thought when they'd been told they had to go home because of COVID. But they still, unfortunately, went home nonetheless.
Mm. So they're out of the running, but still first ever curling team with, you know, not bad a showing there. How do they feel about their performance at the Winter Olympics?
Tali and Dean are just elated. Of course, a tough start to the competition and then the COVID chaos was a real hardship. But to represent Australia for the first time ever at the Winter Games and to win the final two matches against really strong teams, that bodes incredibly well for the future.
I think the big takeaway is that, you know, on quite a few games we had, you know, the shot for the win or it came down to the last rock. So it definitely wasn't like we were just there making up numbers. We were fierce competitors on the ice, and considering our whole campaign, I think we showed a lot of resilience, and that's something that both of us will take going forward into the next Olympic cycle. And, you know, it was our first Olympics, and just considering the barriers that we had to overcome just to get there, I'm really proud of how we overcame some pretty big obstacles.
Yeah, looking back at the whole game as a whole, it's an incredible experience. You know, looking down at the rings on the rocks and in the ice and on the bleachers and everywhere, wearing the green and gold is always a privilege, but to wear that at the Olympics, it's so special. And I think it's going to make us stronger for the future and know that we can take it to these top teams. And, you know, really looking forward to the next 4 years in our campaign going forward, because I think we can achieve some pretty amazing things now.
What are their plans post the Winter Olympics? Will we see them at the next Olympics?
So they've already got their eyes on the next Winter Olympics in 2026. And if anything, qualifying for Beijing came a bit ahead of schedule. When they first started working together as a team, they said that they'd set 2026 as a target. And so to get to qualify for 2022 was just icing on the cake, but they're gunning hard to succeed in 4 years' time.
Mm. I've seen Tali and Dean do quite a few interviews over the past month or so. They've been on the project. They've really, there's been a lot of hype around them in Australia. What could this mean for the future of curling overall, that they have sparked such a conversation and level of interest in the sport in this country?
Tali and Dean told me that they're really hoping to grow the sport of curling in Australia. And for this appearance, the first ever appearance for Australia at the Winter Olympics in the curling, to be the catalyst for that.
Definitely. I mean, obviously our main goal was making to the Olympics because that's been our dream. But for both of us, just growing the sport in Australia, we knew that if we got a team to the Olympics, it would grow the sport, because there's always a lot of interest after an Olympic year anyway. So hopefully having an Aussie team there will bring that much more interest to the sport.
Being successful, getting all that publicity will help the sport and ultimately, hopefully, the construction of a standalone curling rink.
That would be really good, and that would grow the sport even more, I believe.
If Australia is to really succeed internationally in this sport, we're going to need the facilities for that. And Dean and Tali are really hopeful that their Winter Olympics performance can be the start of a new generation of Australian curlers.
I mean, to go all the way to the Olympics and to have one of your main hopes and dreams to come out of it, to have one curling rink in Australia, it's pretty modest, I would say.
Modest, but from little things, big things grow.
Yeah, great. Well, thanks so much for your time.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. See ya.
That was reporter Kieran Pender speaking to Tali and Dean, Australia's first Olympic curling team. You can read more about their Olympic journey at theguardian.com, including Kieran's profile of them and a play-by-play of their final day of competition in Beijing by reporter Sean Ingle. We put some links on the full story page to that reporting as well. This episode was produced by Joe Koning, Jake Morecambe and Ellen Lee Beater. Sound designed by Joe Koning and mixing by Camilla Hannon. The executive producers of Full Story are Miles Mattagnoni, Gabrielle Jackson and me, Laura Murphy-Oates. If you liked this episode, don't forget to leave a rating or a review. Okay, catch you tomorrow.